Welcome to episode 4 of Lessons from a Horse. I'm your host, Bethany Tusky. In this episode, I'll be interviewing my friend and fellow horse trainer, Sarah Serfling from Eternal Willow Horsemanship. Sarah specializes in colt starting, liberty, groundwork, bridleless riding, and equine facilitated learning. Both a horse trainer and live sound engineer, Sarah combines techniques from liberty and dressage-based horsemanship with multimedia elements to create a living art that provides universal hope, healing, and solidarity, inspired by the equine theater and music industries. Sarah believes in implementing an expressive, kinetic, and multidisciplinary approach towards equine-facilitated learning in order to promote global peace and help humans learn nonviolent conflict resolution.
Well, welcome, Sarah. Thank you for joining me today. I'm so excited to chat with you and find out more about what you're up to. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So why don't we start out, if you just want to tell us a little bit about your background. I know you do a lot of cool stuff with horses, so just kind of tell us how you got into doing what you do.
Right. Okay. I started riding when I was 9 years old. I took lessons from a colt starter. It was sort of unorthodox. She was building her business at the time, so sometimes we did our lessons even as beginners on horses that only had their first 30 or 60 days on them. Yeah.
Not
So we
recommended,
learned together.
but yeah.
And when I was about 12, she started trying to put together a summer camp for her students as that as her program had grown, and we were her test dummies. So she did a month-long colt starting summer camp, and she got a bunch of horses from an auction and that all hadn't been started, and walked us through how she trained, which was pretty traditional Western, some Ray Hunt type influences. And that really was where my passion for training developed, was watching her teach and train and bring along horses, which is sort of a different learning route than a lot of people get as their first riding experience.
Yeah,
And yeah. And
definitely.
yeah. And moving forward, I did take lessons in some English as well, and I ended up with a quarter horse that had failed as a Western pleasure horse because his gates were just too big. And that's how I really got into dressage, because he handled the lower level and had a kind of a cute lengthened trot, and yeah, that was how I got started. And I was always interested in how could I connect more with the horse and do everything more softly. And I was always trying to figure out how to do bridleless. And I'd learned from my first instructor how to do traditional round penning and join up. And that was my first taste of liberty. And moving forward, I had the opportunity to take working student positions under some different dressage instructors and learn more. Most notably, I was an apprentice trainer in Florida with Kim and Yvonne Bartow, who performed at Arabian Nights, and that's when I learned more about traditional liberty, more from the circus world than the Western round penning work. So, yeah, that's and now it's brought me doing young horses, some problem horses, and bringing along projects of my own.
It's really cool. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about what you're offering now. I know you're kind of getting your training business established, and you're doing a lot of cool things. I know you do the Liberty and cult starting, and it sounds like you're doing some equine facilitated stuff. So tell us about that and everything you've got going on.
Yeah. Okay. So with the, I'll start with the equine facilitated learning.
Yeah.
One of my long-term clients came to, we started working together because she had some challenging off the track thoroughbreds, and we did a lot of Liberty work to help her connect with them and be able to find a way to have a healthy dialogue with them as she was trying to retrain them. And she was so enamored by what she learned and the benefits she discovered from connecting with the horse and how that helped her regulate emotion and think more mindfully, that she wanted to do a nonprofit that expressed that sort of gratitude back towards the horse. And she asked me to consult for that. So I wrote a program for her containing a series of exercises with the horse that are performed on the ground. So it's Liberty based, and it's working with symbols. So figuring out how to set intentions using symbols or art, and then figuring out using Liberty work and moving the body around with the horse, figuring out how to ask the horse to participate in helping set those intentions, and, you know, processing the experience of trying to collaborate with another animal non-verbally on that. So that's what I have going on there. And that nonprofit that's set up is a Quietude Foundation. That's so that's combining the words gratitude and equine together. And so yeah, I also teach riding lessons of all ages, and I do try to incorporate the groundwork and the Liberty into that as well. For example, I have one student who's very nervous about riding his horse, so we've been building a lot of confidence on the ground, and he's currently working on teaching his horse Faith how to lie down. So as a confidence builder, you know, and being able to connect with her in that way. So we started the bow first, and then also teaching her to drop her head to the ground when he, you know, cues for that. So to kind of prepare for the lay down. So
that's awesome. The groundwork can really help build confidence for sure. So right. Well, that you're incorporating that and using that to help people who are nervous.
And then for me, I've always been passionate about colts. One sort of lofty dream has been to someday do Road to the Horse or something like that. So I've started just with my own horses. I tried to do them from the beginning forward myself, and I also do colt starting for other people as well. I helped a gentleman recently the last week get a few, he does saddle seats, so that was a new experience for me, helping him prepare to start a half saddlebred, half Arabian, and a full saddlebred, and we just got them going, so that was pretty cool. My own mare, she's my trick and demo horse, and I started her from scratch as well, and she's got a handful of tricks and that she knows, and works at Liberty, and is starting to learn to ride, and so that's coming along as well. So a lot of different activities going on. Yeah.
But all related in a way, right? You know,
right.
The same common themes of using the groundwork and using the horses to help people and help horses.
Right, exactly. And, you know, as a kid, I went through some very difficult experiences growing up, and I did see a counselor who encouraged me to use I wasn't very advanced at my groundwork at that time, but I did have some skill with it. And she encouraged me, the counselor encouraged me to really focus on my connection with the horse as a means to rehabilitate my understanding of what healthy dynamics and interpersonal relationships with people looked like. Uh-huh. So I do draw on those experiences a lot as well. So my personal life with my horses has been very healing as well. And I think that's where it's the business aspect of it has grown in wanting to share other people or share with other people that same opportunity.
Sure. Yeah, that's awesome. That's kind of how I feel too. And that's actually why I started this podcast, you know, because there's so many awesome ways that horses can help us. And I just want to share that with people. So thank you again for coming on and sharing, and hopefully, you know, this helps people. So that stuff with the equine facilitated learning and using the symbols, that's really cool. I haven't heard too much about that kind of thing. So do you mind talking a little bit more about that?
Sure. So some of where that came from, that was a novel idea that came to me this past summer, actually. There's a lot of work with join up and round pen work with horses and having a healing element. But I worked as the doing lights and sound at the Dancing Horses Theater, as you know. And when I was watching these performances over and over and over from the sound booth, and we spent time on working on choreography and thinking about how to convey different messages, I started to think, you know, what if it's not just for entertainment, but you could really use working with horses at Liberty in art therapy, in a sense, you know? Sure. And some of it sprang from I had a phone conversation actually with Linda Kohanov. Because of COVID, she was offering phone call consultations because she wasn't conducting her equine facilitated workshops. And I was feeling a little bit directionless. So I talked to her and I was saying, you know, I'd reached a point where I felt frustrated with even the Liberty, because in designing strict routines, it seemed like you had the freedom of connection and the softness sometimes went away in the efforts to create a really perfectly choreographed, in sync performance. Yeah. And when you're training to get something to perfection or to happen now exactly the way you want it, then it's not, you know, that's not, I felt like I was getting away from what originally drew me to Liberty work.
Okay.
And so we were talking about that, and she said, well, why don't you start exploring what the horse wants to do, you know? And I think you and I had we played with Maya a little bit on the ground, your filly, and you kind of suggested some of that same idea. So both with having talked to you and having talked to Linda, I started to think more about that. And I had, at the time, my own mare was staying in the back pasture at Dancing Horses, where some of the reject show horses were.
Oh, no.
And they were sweet, but they just didn't have a purpose. Either they were young, too young to really do that, or they just didn't fit into what they had going on. Just, you know, kind of an eclectic mix, but they had this sort of herd consciousness that was really interesting. They would all, when I would come to feed Moonshine, even though I didn't give them grain, they would all come and wait for me. And if I was late, they were upset. And they would all move in the same path, so that certain paths in the dirt had been cut because they traced the same pattern over and over, and Sometimes they would just stand in really very symmetrical configurations.
Okay.
And there's this sort of awareness, you know, that I've never experienced around other horses. And so I started to spend a lot of time with them, and I started to sort of think about things that were going on in my life, and I would notice that they would sometimes respond or engage with me and pick up on whatever I was thinking about in some sort of way, and their body language would convey that. So that's where the first exercise of the sequence that I wrote for the symbol work with the horses actually came from, was to go into an enclosed space with a horse and not even to touch them, but just to ask them, you know, mentally about whatever was kind of concern to you that you wanted to focus on, and watching how they moved and responded, and seeing what sort of thoughts and things would be triggered in response, you know. So you would kind of project your thoughts, and you'd observe their body language, and then you would journal or answer some prompts that were, you know, what does this remind you of? Can you relate this to an image? Can you relate this to a song? What feelings or moods would you describe this as making you feel, you know, that sort of thing. And so just sort of opening someone's mind to being able to consider that there could be a very subtle communication. So that's a little bit about what like a little more on the that's sort of what evolved. And then from there, you know, through body language, if you can actually go from just asking questions and interpreting what's being shown to getting the horse to set intentions with you by the work that you know, choreograph, basically. So
okay. Yeah. Really cool. That's really interesting. Yeah, awesome. All right, cool. Do you have any other stories that you'd like to share, or are there any specific lessons that you've learned through this work that you've done with the horses, or anything like that? Anything else you want to share about that?
Well, I think each horse teaches something different for certain. And lately, the recurring thing that I've been learning has been to be more trusting of myself with my own intuition, and that's really that's been a lot from working with my mare Moonshine. I found that when I started work, I'd been riding so many problem horses that I had internalized some element of fear. And it wasn't that I couldn't get the job done, or I wouldn't work the horse or whatnot, but I would over drill things like stopping and backing up because I was afraid of not being able to stop the horse. So I would be overly harsh or overly assertive, making sure that there was a certain level of pretty significant submission with doing some of the ground body control, you know, and I felt like I constantly had to test that. Right. Yeah, and
control.
Right. And it was, and I knew that I couldn't physically force a horse to stop. So it was this psychological domination, you know, that was sort of taking place. And it didn't feel right. And so with Moonshine, I've been learning how to step back and communicate in a way that allows her to show me that she understands and that she doesn't want to hurt me. And it's sort of a weird thing to have gotten to a place as a professional that I even was concerned about a horse, you know, harming me. But I had just seen so many problems that had gotten out of hand where couldn't really train because of the level of aggression that some were exhibiting. And that was because of not because they were necessarily aggressive horses by nature, but that was what they had felt like they had to default to. And so finding that, you know, a different way. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how we could work on trust before spending time in the saddle, so that I felt comfortable, but I didn't feel like I was dominating her. And I think that applies to the real world too, you know. I've often found that whatever I'm struggling with in my own training, I'm also struggling in my daily life with the same behavior patterns.
Definitely.
So for me, finding a place where I'm not afraid if I don't have absolute control, and is something that's very, very difficult. It creates a lot of anxiety for me to feel like I'm taking a risk. And so Moonshine has helped me with that a lot. So that's one lesson from a horse.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. And that's something I personally can relate to quite a bit. Just that feeling like you need to have some level of control. And it can be hard when you do work with those more difficult horses and you've maybe seen some things that they can do. That can definitely make you feel less trusting of other horses too. So I can totally relate to that. But yeah, like you said, we can't really control them. And you know, the relationship and the partnership gets so much better when we start to trust them more, but it can be challenging sometimes for sure. And yeah, I can definitely relate to that.
Right. So that's been something that's been unique. And then with my older horse, he's basically retired now, but Duke is my bridleless horse. And he was a challenge because when I first started out with him, I was, he was a show horse that had gotten sour on showing, and I was a kid, and he was just completely unimpressed with all of my riding mistakes, that my timing or my position would be off, and he didn't really want to compete. And so he had no tolerance for any margin of error. And he periodically would sort of, he's got a very long back and he's heavy up front. And so he would just brace and bolt off, and you really can't stop him, you know? In fact, he'd perfected this trick. People tried to teach me to do a pulley rein with him and a one rein stop. And what he did is he would even with the trainers that would get on, he would be so strong that he'd pull them off the side. and he did that regularly. He would just, he would jump out of the dressage arena and run away mid lesson. He left dressage clinics. it was mortifying. And he did something similar on the ground. He would just sit back and flip himself over and
break
whatever, you know. And it just, you know, I got tired of having to move from boarding barn to boarding barn because he was destroying property, you know. And so I taught him to ground tie. That was my first thing that I worked with him on, and figuring out how to get him to stay put because I asked him to, and not because he was tied to anything, because it was hopeless We tried taking him to a traditional trainer who, you know, put him on a patient's pole and tied him up to a tree, and that didn't, he knew the difference between being tied to a tree and tied to something else, and that didn't really work, and it was pretty harsh and kind of made my stomach turn. I didn't feel good about that, and so it was really clear with him, there's no amount of force that you can use to affect his behavior. So finding, you know, teaching him to ground tie, and then working on that so that, you know, he got to the point where I could just walk into the tack room, go down the aisle and stay put, and spend a lot of time getting him to join up with me and follow me around at the ground. I didn't know anything about liberty circles at the time. And then progressing to that in the riding, you know, so that was also a big lesson. He really taught me the limitations of physical force, and to that there was a way to achieve a lot more by seeking non-aggressive alternatives. So
really cool.
So now he, rather than running away,
ride and bridle.
Yeah, exactly. I think those are the two biggest examples that come to mind. Obviously these are horses I've had for a while, so I think they've had a chance to have a bigger impact on me.
Definitely. Very cool. Awesome. Well, is there anything else you'd like to talk about or share with us?
I don't know. I not in particular. I'm always terrible about interviews. That's pretty much it. That's what I have going on.
Really cool. Awesome. Okay, so to wrap up here, I've got a couple more questions that we're just going to do like rapid fire. So you don't have to put a lot of thought into it. Just say like the first thing that comes to your mind. Just some fun questions to help us kind of get to know you a little bit better. Okay. So what is one thing you've learned recently about anything?
Okay. So I learned how to do the rear recently. I didn't know how to train that. And so that, or I'd seen people do it, but I hadn't done it myself. So that was something I worked on in December. So that's new.
That's cool. Very cool. All right. Share a favorite horse memory.
My favorite horse memory was when I worked on a Lipizzan breeding farm in Arkansas, and we went trail riding in the Ozark Mountains, and I got to gallop one of the Lipizzan horses up to the top of this hill. And it was a very majestic feeling of taking this white horse, you know, in a gallop up a hill, you know, sort of fairy tale like. So yeah, that's
cool. Awesome. Cool. All right. What is a book that you're reading right now or that you've read recently, or a book that you really enjoy?
The Man Who Listens to Horses by Monty Roberts is one that has really stuck with me for a long time. And then I've been reading your book recently. I'm still in the opening section on Illustrate, those are the two books right now.
Okay, very cool. Awesome. Let's see. Okay. If you could share a message with the world, what would it be?
I think that peace, both internal peace and world peace, are more achievable than we realize, and that there are nonviolent solutions to almost all problems.
I love that. Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something we definitely learned through working with the horses, right? Like you were talking about getting away from force and kind of trying to find those more peaceful, friendly solutions with working with the horses. Right. Yeah, definitely. Very cool. Love that. All right. Very cool.
And awesome. Even challenging when you brought in Sylvia.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So where can listeners find out more about you or connect with you or learn more about what you're doing?
Instagram is a sort of place for where I'm documenting what my progress updates with my training horses. That grammar was terrible. Instagram is the best place right now at Sarah Surfling Horses. That's Sarah with an H and then Surfling, S-E-R, F as in Frank, L-I-N-G.
Perfect.
And then horses.
Awesome. So very cool. Well, thank you again for joining me here. And it was awesome chatting with you. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. I'd love it if you'd share your thoughts on this podcast in the comments. I always enjoy hearing from our listeners. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review and sharing with your friends. If you'd like to connect with Sarah and see all the cool things that she's doing, you can find her on Instagram. Just search for Sarah Surfling Horses, and you'll be able to see everything that she's up to. If you want to learn more about developing a better partnership with your horse, you can check out our website, tuskydressage.com. Or search for Tusky Dressage on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. And you can also sign up for our virtual classroom on Patreon at patreon.com/tuskydressage. And lastly, if you are looking to go even deeper into the lessons our horses have for us, you can check out my book, God's Heart Through a Horse's Eyes, available on Amazon and Amazon Kindle. Thanks again for joining me on Lessons from a Horse, and I'll see you next time.